Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Segi today on this last weekend of the new year. Can you believe that? We have another huge show for you this week. My first guest is legendary Pittsburgh Steeler Terry Bradshaw will be joining us. Country superstar Tim McGraw, comedian Tom Dreesen, and one great actor, Jeff Goldblum. Next hour, the lovely Rita Coolidge will be here. My buddy Howie Mandel. There's a new movie that's going to be premiering this week, and it is entitled Bezos, The Beginning. It's about the beginning of Amazon, about Jeff Bezos, and its star and executive producer will be joining us, Nick Friedman, and with our lifestyle expert, we'll talk to Bonnie Taub Dix. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Segi today. I'll be right back with Terry Bradshaw.
The bigger your 401k, the better your retirement, right? Wrong. The fact is, with proposed new taxes, another market crash, inflation, and rising healthcare costs, you could be forced to downsize your retirement. Discover the secret savvy investors are turning to for retirement security. A new 401k law that unlocks an ingenious retirement protection plan that could protect your savings from inflation and a stock market downturn while boosting your retirement income as much as 40%. It's all laid out in simple language in a new book from Josh Melberg. His insightful guide is your roadmap to retiring with confidence, and it's yours free with one call. Don't risk a lifetime of work building your retirement. This little-known retirement protection plan could safeguard your wealth and boost your retirement up to 40%. For your free copy of Guarantee Your Retirement by Josh Melberg, call now. Call 800-804-3595. That's 800-804-3595. 800-804-3595.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Campbell here, serial entrepreneur. Let's make sure your current payroll provider isn't overcharging you, shall we? First, go to your payroll provider's website to see what you're currently paying. Oh, what's that? You can't clearly see your pricing because your vendor is running a temporary sale or making you call for a free quote? That's unfortunate. If you go to PatriotSoftware.com, you will instantly see our payroll pricing for companies with 1 to 100 employees. Well, there you go. At least now you know what you should be paying for payroll. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Welcome back to Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world. That music is very familiar, and we're going to use it to introduce our next guest, a guy that's fun to have on a program. When he played ball with
the overall pick of the NFL drafts, a winning Emmy broadcaster, a country and western singer, a motivational speaker, an author. I tell you, he does it all. Joining us right now, talking about his book that's available in bookstores as we speak, Keep It Simple, Terry Bradshaw. Hi, Terry, how are you?
Good, Ron. Man, I tell you, that is one of the greatest introductions I've ever heard. I'm a little bit embarrassed right now.
Well, you shouldn't be embarrassed. Every time I see you, everybody's always writing about something. And I tell you, I think that you are a terrific guest. I mean, you are the talk show dream because you're funny, you're there, you're on top of things, you look like you're having fun. It's a great person to have on the show.
I don't know why. I don't know why I did. I asked to be on your show last year, and they said that I wasn't a big enough star to go on it.
You read that just the way I wrote it to you. I got to tell you, I'm from Pennsylvania, originally from Erie, so I'm really kind of on top of things, what you did with the Steelers.
Good.
I mean,
good.
I saw you many times at the stadium. I love this book, Terry. I started reading it last night, and it was late. I was at a birthday party, and I started reading it, and you know what? I could not put it down. This is a great book.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know you're sucking up to me right now, but that's okay. You didn't read it at no birthday party. You got a little synopsis sheet, but you know what? That's okay, too.
You know, that's not
true. I don't care. I don't care if you read it. You know what? Go ahead and say it's a great book. That's that's all that matters.
No, let me tell you something. Let me prove to you that I read this. First of all, you're talking about one time being on an airplane. It started to take off three times. It had a whamming noise. You were getting more and more nervous as you went along.
Yeah.
Now, is that not in the book?
That's in the book.
That's in the book. All right. Now, let me tell you something. You also talk about several marriages in the book, correct?
That's in the book.
You have a lot of stories in there about turning to Christianity, spending $4,000 in a bookstore one time. Is that not in the book?
That's in the book.
Do you talk about attention deficit disorder? Can you make these things up right at the top of your head?
That's in the book. But did you read the chapter about where I had hair transplant?
I'm going to say yes, and you're going to say that wasn't in the book. Am I right about that?
Ah, you're right.
But, you know, I tell you, this book makes you laugh, makes you cry. It's got all the emotions.
Good. Well, it's supposed to have, because when someone's as screwed up as I am or has been, you ought to go through all of that stuff. But the end result is what we care about, and that's that puts a smile on my face because I'm involved with that. And, you know, all my friends are going, I cannot believe you said these things. And I said, well, why not? So much has been written about me and said about me and so many cruel things, and I've said cruel things about myself, and I'm pretty much, you know, I'm a walking open book anyway, so why not tell people that your life's not perfect? Why not let people know you've screwed things up, but also let them know that you did something about it? And that's what I'm proud of, the fact that I did something about it.
Well, the fact of the matter is that what you do is you defuse everybody. I mean, nobody can attack you because you'll come right back and defuse them because, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
You know? And then where does somebody go? I mean, a politician should learn to do that, you know?
Right.
Did you really sleep with that intern? Yes, I did. Okay, next subject.
Yeah, you know what? I have found out, and one of the things I did in television when I first started doing the pregame show especially, was that when I would screw up, I wouldn't try to hide it. I would just laugh about it and keep on going. And what happened, the purists out there would go, he can't get these names right. He screws the scores up. And I'm going, you're right, I do. But I give hope to everybody out there that they can do this job that I'm doing and probably do it better. You know, it just makes you human, that's all.
Well, when you start appealing to the blue-collar people out there, that's how you do it. You can't talk down to them. You look them straight in the eye, and I think that's the reason for the appeal. I really do.
Where does it come off that quote unquote famous people or rich people or successful people are, in their minds anyway, are better than anybody else, when 98% or more of this country is made up of real people,
that's my kind
of people, my family. Who am I? I'm not better than anybody. You know, I may be famous, but I'm not better than anybody, and it's stupid, and I never look at it like that. And I like the fact that I appeal to real Americans and not those on Wall Street.
I got to tell you something, Terry, and I say this very sincerely, okay? I'm not a big sports fanatic. I am not a kind of guy that, you know, sit down and watch the game on a Sunday afternoon. I like car racing, and I know you do too, because you had incidents there with Dale Earnhardt and his son Kerry, which was also in the book that I read last night till 1 o'clock in the morning. But aside from that, but the fact of the matter is that I enjoy watching you because you are a regular guy and you don't just always talk about sports. I mean, you have two daughters here, beautiful girls who you love dearly. You talk very candidly in the book about three divorces. You talk very candidly about something that's very dear to me, and that's having a little bit of a fear of flying. So, you know, you aren't just restricted to one area.
Well, I would like to think, I remember one of our players in Pittsburgh said I had the personalities of, you know, Sybil, multiple personalities.
Yeah.
And I thought, so? How exciting is that to wake up with a different person every day? I think that's kind of neat. You know, I'm not boring myself. And I'd hate to know that my life is centered around football.
Yeah.
Listen, I do a pregame show and I have to sit there and watch some of the sorriest football games you have ever seen in your life. And when that camera comes on, put a smile on my face and go, you know, golly, look here, y'all. We got the Detroit Lions. Now, I know they ain't won a game in 4 years. Wee doggy, I'm fired up today. You know, give me a break.
You know,
I'm just like you sitting at home. I hate this mess.
Terry, let me ask you something. When you're going through this and you're doing everything that you're doing and you're setting all kinds of records and you're leading the Steelers to an unprecedented 4 Super Bowl victories and so on, and you're a most valuable player, do you ever realize that coming in your mid-30s, you're pretty much going to be put out to pasture in that particular industry? Did that ever scare you?
No, it didn't scare me. I kind of look look forward to it. I never did. This is a horrible answer because it doesn't sound right, but I never enjoyed playing pro football.
Really?
There's a scoop. It was a business. When I realized just how cruel and business-like it was, and I always thought it was a game, it wasn't fun. I wanted to play, win Super Bowls, and go. Leave. Get out of there. That's why when I left, I never looked back. It wasn't fun for me. I couldn't enjoy a game because playing the game wasn't any fun because if you didn't win it, you were a piece of crap. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all. So I did it, and when I got hurt, I said, thank you, Lord. History. Bye. See ya. Sayonara. So it's just so different for me. It's only because I got hurt and disillusioned by the whole process, and I just understood it, and I thought, how sad. We got to win all these football games. We can't have any fun out here. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't win, then you're a jerk. If you don't win another Super Bowl, you're a bum. And I never understood that. I just never understood. Actually, it was more fun my last couple of years when we really weren't a Super Bowl contender. They had to rely on me and throw the football, and I had more fun because we weren't going to win anyway. So it was kind of neat.
You made the comment that even when you weren't feeling well, you had a concussion because you were afraid that somebody else would come in there, do a better job, and you'd be out on the limb.
Exactly.
Wow.
But I never was afraid of if I lost football, would I be devastated? No. If I wasn't successful, would I be devastated? No. I don't need money. I grew up poor. I don't need money now. If I lost everything I had, it's almost like it'd be a blessing. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't faze me. I've had it, and look at the mess I'm in.
I want to tell you something. You are an inspiration. You really are. Even for guys who can't play golf and get 3 holes-in-1 twice in 2 days.
I know.
I mean,
you know what? And none of those were good shots. That's what's so bad about it.
You're my hero, I want you to know. I don't try to be good, but I am. Well,
yeah.
Terry, I urge everybody to go out there in America to pick up this book called Keep It Simple. It's a great, great piece of reading. It's Terry Bradshaw, penned alongside of David Fisher. And I think you got as we say in the sporting arena, a grand slam with this one.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, Terry, thank you so much. And when you're down back here in Orlando, see us here. We'd love to have you as a guest.
You got it, man.
Thank you, Terry. Terry Bradshaw has been our guest. Keep It Simple, the book. It's in bookstores as we speak. What a neat guy.
And here's a clip from the day that Terry Bradshaw was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame.
To use the words to describe the emotions coming to Canton, Ohio, and being inducted to the Hall of Fame. When I got the phone call, those of you that know me know I'm not a man that hides his emotions well. I went nuts. I went crazy, which I already am anyway. I jumped around. I ran around the house outside. I just lost it. I said, I can't believe this. And then I stopped and I said, what does it mean? What does all of this mean? It means that, yeah, you're one of the best that ever played. I said, no, wait just a second. What it means that in football, you never get anything, that you don't share it with people. You don't get elected into the Hall of Fame by yourself. Thank you, every one of them. We didn't get in here by ourselves.
Very cool. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child, and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us, was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Just to see you smile, I'd do anything that you wanted me to.
And we're back live nationwide and around the world. You're listening to Ron Seggi today. What you're really listening to is our next guest, who
has accumulated 6 multi-platinum selling albums. He has also received 8 CMA awards, 9 ACM awards, 7 Billboard awards, 4 American Music Awards, a Grammy award. He's got it. Plus, he's married to a beautiful woman. Joining us right now, Tim McGraw. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. They really got you working today, don't they, Tim?
They do, man. They're wearing me out. I don't know how I can take it anymore.
They always say that the road is tough, but doing interviews with radio, that's got to be even tougher than the road.
It is tough for a guy who doesn't like to talk very much.
If you don't like to talk, you certainly have made it up in singing. You're terrific, and I love all the work like millions of people do all across the country and around the world. Tim, you're special. This is kind of a neat thing because you did it at the C.W. Earl's Cotton Gin in your home stomping grounds of Stark, Louisiana.
We did. It was a lot of fun to go back home and see all the people I grew up with and the areas that I grew up with and see how much. It was funny. We were standing there, and it's such a small town, and it's still the same size as it was when I grew up there. Maybe a few little things different. I'm standing on the stage with a band when we first got there, and we're looking around the place, and, you know, I can't believe how much it's grown. And they all just started dying laughing because it's so small. They couldn't believe that it's actually grown a little bit because they couldn't believe where did it start, you know?
Tim, when you go back to the hometown, and you're obviously not the same guy that you were there when you were living, do they treat you a little bit differently?
No, some people do, I guess, but some people don't. Some people that used to razz me just as much when I was living there, they do now when I go back. So it kind of keeps you grounded. But there's some, you know, but it's great, you know. To go back home, and I'm proud of where I grew up and proud of the people where I grew up, and to see that they're proud of me is a special feeling.
Now, this was the first television special ever. How did you go this long and somebody not come to you and say, you want to do a television special? How come it took so long?
Well, you know, we've had a few people approach us and a couple of chances to do specials, but I'm pretty stubborn. I'm pretty hard-headed, and I like to do things the way I feel like I need to do them. And NBC came to us and gave us control. They said, go do what you want to do and bring it back to us. And we did. And, you know, they were a great help. They stood beside us in every step of the way, and every idea that we had, they were right there with us to help us make it come true. And they were a great partner. And you got to have somebody who can buy into an artist's vision, I think. And we were lucky to do that and have people that were real interested in what we were doing and excited about what we were doing. And I think that's what was tipped the scale for us to do it.
When did you tape it, Tim?
We taped it September 7th. You know, in Louisiana, in the middle of September, is pretty much dead of summer. So it was pretty hot. I think everybody drank a lot of water. You know, it made for a great show. We were up there just sweating and having a great time, and the crowd was having a great time. And, you know, it was a lot of energy.
My oldest son, who grew up listening to my rock and roll music of the 60s and 70s, travels all over the place following you. He says, Dad, I tell you something, when Tim McGraw walks out on stage, it's like Elvis being there.
Well, wow. I don't know how to take that. You know, that's pretty cool. I'll take it. That's what I want to say.
Somebody's dishing it out, I'm going to take it, right?
Somebody's dishing it out, I'm going to take it.
We talk about contemporary music and how it attracts young people. Country music certainly has taken a lot of changes over the past few decades, where a lot of the traditional country artists will say, well, almost like rock and roll. It's a high-energy act that you put on there, Tim. Do a lot of people say you kind of border on the rock and roll of maybe an earlier genre?
I don't know. You know, I'm sure they do. Country music's all music changes. It evolves. And you know, we were exposed growing up to a lot of different music that artists before us weren't exposed to. You know, I grew up in Louisiana, and, you know, that's about as country as you can get. But I do my music according to the way I feel it and the way the song needs it to be done. And I'm a country artist because that's the way I sing. Mm-hmm. And I grew up listening to 70s rock and roll. I grew up listening to 70s country. And that influences all of every music, every song that I record. And I just don't put a lot of merit into that argument. It's just not something that I think has anything to do with music.
I'm glad you're here to say that, because I think what few people realize is that going back to the 70s, certainly in the 60s, country music were crossover hits all the time. The Glenn Campbells of the world. That was a commonplace thing. So when you're listening to Top 40 radio at that time when you were growing up, you were listening to a lot of country influence.
Yeah, you know, I think music is driven by the artist and the songs. I don't think it necessarily driven with how many fiddles or steel guitars or pianos you have on the record. I think it has everything to do with the song and the artist and how it's delivered and how well it's delivered and how believable it is. And the rest of that other stuff, I think, is the Greek chorus to sit around and talk about.
You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of guys that you are aware of that says, oh my gosh, here's a guy, good-looking guy, got a ton of hit records, massively successful, doing very, very well for himself, and married to this beautiful woman. How can one person be so immensely lucky? Is it difficult having a professional and a private career with someone that is so close to you?
No, I think for us, that I can't imagine it being any other way. For us, it's part of the magic for our relationship. I can't imagine doing this without her. And she's my biggest support, my biggest fan, and I am for her too. For us, it just allows us to, I think, a freedom creatively and personally to just relax and know that we have this great foundation and build great music and not have to worry about everything else that's going on in our life.
How does that affect Maggie and Gracie that know that their mom and dad don't work at the local
manufacturing plant or the Publix grocery store? How do they handle that? Are they able to separate mom and dad superstar versus mom and dad who says, hey, you got to take a bath and go to bed at a reasonable hour?
I don't think superstar for mom and dad comes into their vocabulary. I think they know what we do, but I don't think we're not in sync. I can tell you that, according to them or Aerosmith, who's Gracie's favorite.
How many dates do you do a year, Tim, on the road?
This year, there was a year that we took off to really do the album with the band, so we only did about 20 dates. In the last couple of years, we've probably done 70 shows a year, I guess, 60 shows a year. But that's a lot better than it has been. When we first started, you know, with having hits with Indian Outlaw and stuff, there were a couple of years where we were doing 200 and 230 shows a year. So
wow.
It's a lot lighter load now. And plus, you know, my band's getting old. They can't take it.
You got to get a younger band, Tim. You know,
get one of those special buses and everything.
With the ramp and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Now, your next release, Tim McGraw and the Dance Hall Doctors, with a book titled Tim McGraw and Dance Hall Doctors. This is ours. What's the book about?
Well, the book is really a spinoff from the record. When I decided that I wanted to make this record with the band, and we picked a studio up in the mountains of the Catskills, we wanted to isolate ourselves, go up there and make a record, and we wanted to document it. So the guys took pictures and wrote journals, and the book is really an extension of the album jacket. It just kind of travels through the making of the record and formation of my band and where we kind of want to take this thing. It's really, to me, just a great accompaniment with the record. It's kind of the kind of thing you sit down, listen to the record, look at the book, and you can see where it's going.
Well, that's very cool. So when are you going to come down and be my guest? Can that be in the plans here in a little hole in your schedule in the next few months?
We will have to do that because we went to Disneyland for the first time this year. Exactly. We got to do it with you guys now.
Appreciate you taking the time to joining us today.
Thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Nice talking with you, and look forward to seeing you.
You got it.
I'm going to take you up on that, righty?
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Our guest has been country superstar Tim McGraw, and we'll be right back with more with Ron Segi today.
When I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime, I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. In the wake of the Tyree Nichols beating video, Memphis police are disbanding the Scorpion unit. The five officers fired and charged in connection with the death of Nichols were part of that unit. Two people are injured in a shooting in Jerusalem just a day after a gunman killed at least seven people near a synagogue. The pair injured are a father and son, with the suspect being a 13-year-old. Police say the teenager was neutralized and injured by passersby who carried licensed weapons. Utah is banning gender-affirming care for minors. On Saturday, Republican Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill that disallows access to hormonal treatments and surgical procedures for anyone under 18. Former President Trump was making campaign stops in two states on Saturday. The keynote address to Republican leaders in New Hampshire and South Carolina for his first official 2024 event. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today. You have no idea how excited I am to have our next guest with us. I haven't talked to him in so long. He's a dear friend and one of the nicest guys, not only in show business, anywhere in the world. He's been on TV with 500 appearances on things like The Tonight Show with Johnny, David Letterman, Columbo. He's been on Murder, She Wrote. He's been everywhere, and he's out right now with a new book called Still Standing, my pal Tom Dreesen. Hey, Tommy, how are you? Thank you for joining us. It's been too long, my friend.
Hey, Ron, how you doing? How have you been?
I have been great.
When people say to me, do you really know Ron Segi? I said, yeah. They said, prove it. I said, he looks just like Brad Pitt. They said, you know him.
Now, I was getting concerned why we haven't talked. I don't know if it's something I said.
I know, Ronnie, and that's your fault. You know, that's all your fault. You know, it's because I owe you money. It doesn't mean that you can't call me once in a while.
Well, you know, the problem is that I had that little case with the FBI, and I knew that you were, you know, you didn't want to taint your reputation, so I just kind of stayed away. But hey, you know, that's water over the dam. And
thank God you pleaded the fifth. That's
I know.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, pleaded the fifth, the eighth, the 27th. I'd plead anything they tell me to plead. Congratulations on this book. I have in front of me a book that is about 15 years old. It's called Tim and Tom, an American comedy in black and white, Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen, who, if you don't know, used to be a comedy team together. But I'm going to set that aside, and I'm going to ask for Still Standing. Tell us about this book. This is great.
This is my 51st year in show business, and as you pointed out, Tim Reed and I were America's first black and white comedy team, and we toured together 6 years, and then the team split up, and I went on my own, and as Tim did, and later Tim later became Venus Flytrap on WKRP.
Right.
He was on a show called Sister, Sister. He played the father. He's got a brilliant career, and we're still the best of friends to this day. But I went off on my own, and when I started going on my own, I journaled. Everywhere I went, if something poignant or something funny happened, I'd write it down. And I've been collecting these stories for years. As you pointed out, I did 61 appearances on The Tonight Show, and that first appearance on The Tonight Show, how important it was. So I start writing those things down, and then I start touring with Sammy Davis Jr. and Smokey Robinson and Natalie Cole and Gladys Knight and the Pips, Tony Orlando and Don, and, of course, finally touring with Frank Sinatra for 14 years as his opening act. I put it all together, and this a couple of years ago, I said, I want to write a book. And the title, as you point out, is called Still Standing, because it's a double entendre. You know, I'm a stand-up comedian for 51 years, and I'm still doing it. So I'm still standing, but I've also been knocked down a lot in my life, and physically knocked down, as the book points out, you know, but I got back up again. And a lot of rejections, and as we all go through in our life, and especially in show business, but I wouldn't let it defeat me, and I kept getting back up again.
Up to the point that you were on The Tonight Show back in 1975, it was very, very tough. That was the turning point. You made a deal that, you know, God treated you kind of unfairly up to that point, but then the rest of the life, he said, hey, this is yours.
I've always thought that God said, the first half of your life, I'm going to put a load on you. But if you survive, the second half is on me.
Mm-hmm.
And God kept his promise.
Oh, that's good. There's a funny story that he was my only chance to meet Frank Sinatra. Tom says, I'm going to be in Daytona. Come backstage in intermission, and I'll introduce you to Frank Sinatra. So I go back with my wife, and I see the sign says Frank Sinatra on the door, and I walk down about 10 steps, and Tom's dressing room is on the right. He's already done his first set. And I'm standing in the hallway waiting for Mr. Sinatra to come out. Tom says, you should come in and have a glass of wine. I said, oh, that's a good idea. I go in and have a glass of wine, come back in the hallway. Bingo, he's gone. He's on stage. You got to tell the story, Tom, about the time that he woke you up in the middle of the night to meet you at a bar.
Frank Sinatra never went to bed till the sun came up. He was nocturnal. So whether we were on the road or off the road, when the sun came up, Frank went to bed. So oftentimes we were off the road. I would go stay at his house. He had a compound down in Rancho Mirage in the Palm Springs area, and a huge compound. And the compound was the main house where he stayed, and there were swimming pools and tennis courts. They had bungalows on the outer perimeter of the compound called Strangers in the Night, Tender Trap, New York, New York, My Way, and they're named after his songs.
Sure.
And he would come and get me some nights at 2:30, 3 in the morning and say, Tommy, let's go take a ride. One particular night, there was a bar down the street called Chaplin's Bar, and Frank loved to go in there. It was on Frank Sinatra Drive. But Sydney closed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he would give Frank the keys and say, you know, the bar is yours. You know, Frank would always leave enough money there. And once in a while, a bartender would stay because Frank tipped $100 whenever you brought him one drink. Somebody would like to hang there. But and this particular night, you know, Frank always locked the front door at 2 o'clock, and we stayed in there till the sun came up. He forgot to lock the front door. And now it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm talking to him, looking looking over his shoulder, and I see a car pull up, and a woman gets out of the passenger side. There's two women in there, and she comes running in the bar. She runs up right behind him. She said, excuse me, do they have a jukebox in here? And Frank Sinatra turned around and looked her right in the face and said, I'm sorry, what did you say? She said, do they have a jukebox in here? And Frank looked around, and he said, no, they don't. He said, I'll sing for you. She said, no, thanks. And she turned around and she walked out. He looked at her like a little boy was watching her go out the door. And I said, she obviously didn't recognize you. He said, maybe she did.
Maybe she did. I've told that story so many times. That is a great story. You know, you've got this thing that you got going via Zoom of the man who made Sinatra laugh. Tell us about that, Tommy.
Frank Sinatra fans all over the world are always writing to me, can you tell me about this, tell me about that. So what I did, I put together a Zoom broadcast. It was called The Man Who Made Sinatra Laugh. And they sent me all their questions, and I was on it for 2 hours. But I would answer their questions with a poignant story or a very funny story. You know, lessons I learned from Frank Sinatra along the way and stuff like that. So it was really an entertaining. I thought it was going to last. We thought it would last an hour. It lasted 2 hours.
Wow.
And was very successful.
And book is out right now. It's available anywhere you can buy books.
Amazon.com, by the way, will get it to your house in 2 days. They're amazing. Yeah. I wish I had invested in that stock. They're amazing.
Yeah, you order like a paperclip and they deliver it. You know, it's amazing. I don't know how they make any money, but they are.
Yeah.
Have you seen your buddy, the helmet hair fellow, Frankie Avalon?
Oh, yeah. I just talked to him the other day. And Jimmy Darren, James Darren,
yeah.
Two buddies of mine from Philadelphia, just did a show. Now, I'm a Chicago boy.
Yeah, I know.
But when I came out here to the West Coast, I never got along well with show business people. I think they're mostly a bunch of prima donna, spoiled brats, who most of them never worked a day in their life and do not know what it's like to work a day in their life. I'm talking about real work.
Yeah.
So I gravitated more toward neighborhood guys. Frankie Avalon,
right.
Bobby Rydell, Jimmy Darren, they're all from South Philadelphia. Joe Pesci's from New Jersey. Joe Montaigne, Gary Sinise, Eddie Marinaro, you know, Frankie Valli. We just sit around and tell stories and stuff like that. So those are the kind of guys I still am friends with to this day. Smokey Robinson from Detroit, you know.
And you're right about that. And your description of show business people is also applicable to politicians who never worked a day in their life and get a job. It's the same kind of situation. Going to go back out then?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know what inspired me, Ronnie? Many years ago, I was working at Harrah's with Sammy Davis Jr., and George Burns was appearing next door at Caesars in Lake Tahoe. And I had done the Dean Martin roast, roasting George, and I'd met him before that, and I really liked him a lot. And so after my show, I went over to catch his show, and I watched. He was 95 years old. He didn't run out to the microphone, but when he got out there, he did a strong hour and 10 minutes. And afterward, I went backstage, and then he was looking at some notes. And I walked into his dressing room, and I said to him, hey, George, how you doing? He looked up from his notes. He said, oh, hi, Tommy. He said, I was working on some new material tonight, and I thought, that's what I want to be. I want to be 95 years old working on new material. So that's how I want to go out, you know.
I asked Milton Berle one time, do you want to retire? And he said, to what? So he said, if I go, people recognize me, so I might as well get paid for it. People ask me, when are you going to retire? I said, this is not a heavy lifting job. No, I'm digging a ditch someplace. Nice and air conditioned here. I get to talk to Tom Dreesen. I mean, life couldn't be better.
Frank Sinatra told me one time, I said, Frank, about retirement. He said, Tommy, we'll quit going to see them when they quit coming to see us.
Oh,
what a good line, huh?
Well, and he knew that was never going to happen, so that still standing, available on Amazon, every place else. And we can check into Zoom here to see the show?
I haven't got one. I may do it again.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and what I'll do is I'll send out the word and call you and let you tell everybody. And all it is they simply go to a link.
Right.
And link on The Man Who Made Sinatra Laugh. And if you then go to my website, TomDreesen.com, which is DREESEN. Most people saw my name wrong, but TomDreesen.com. You can find out whatever you want there.
Tom, do me a favor, though, okay?
Sure.
Really. Let's not talk like every 50 years, all right? I mean, you're a great guy, great friend. When I found out that you were going to be on the show today, I said, this is fantastic. I always enjoy talking to you. So let's stay in contact, and then when you start touring again, you'll see me in the front row.
I appreciate that, Ron. And do you have a guest house or a guest room? Because I may want to come and spend a couple of years.
I have a beautiful guest room. I got a pool. I got a car collection. Your home is my home. And the price is right up your alley.
It's in an alley?
No. You're welcome here anytime. You know that. I don't have to tell you that.
You got it. Thanks, Ronnie. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the interview. Always appreciate your interviews. A lot of fun.
Thanks, Tom. And still standing. Get it on Amazon. I've known Tommy a lot of years, and I tell you something, he's always on the money. Great entertainer and a very funny guy who's worked with all the best.
We're going to pause for a second. There's more to come with Ron Segi today.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor, and the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child, and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us, was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Yes. Joining us right now is a gentleman that I had the opportunity of spending some time with when he was down here a few years ago. He's a fine actor and equally nice guy off stage too. Joining us right now, the very talented Jeff Goldblum. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, Ron. So nice to talk to you again.
Nice talking with you again. Now, I got to tell you a quick story.
What's that?
Is when you were down here the last time, I had this great picture that Universal Studios took of you and I kept on bugging them. I said, when am I going to get the picture? When am I going to get the picture to hang it here in our Hall of Fame here in our studios? And about 2 months after you left, they informed me that there was no film in the camera.
Oh, boy.
So my picture with Jeff Goldblum went right down the tubes. You know?
I'm so sorry. Well, next time I'm there, we'll redo it.
We got to do it. I think the show coming up is outstanding. This is called War Stories, and it really gives you a look at, all of us a look, of what these correspondents go through to really cover a story when it comes to battle.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Ron. I think it's outstanding, too. I was so in love with this script when I read it, and I'm so interested in this whole subject. You know, I'm a kind of a news junkie anyway, and in the last year, even more, we've seen real stories about this amazing, very special group of people, and that's what our story is about. It's about the nature of their characters, who they are, and what kind of relationships they have, and what kind of lives they lead. I played Ben Dansmore, this fellow who's been devoted to it all his life, has covered war every place in the last few decades, and in the opening sees his best friend and longtime colleague, award-winning photojournalist, blown to smithereens right in front of his eyes, who steps on a landmine. And I have a real crisis of emotional stability and idealism and endurance when they send as his replacement a young woman who's never done this before. She's smart and beautiful, but it's very challenging. And at the same time, I'm romantically, wildly in love with another of our colleagues, a brilliant woman who writes for a Newsweek-type magazine. But it turns out, I now find out that my best friend was having an affair with her and was in love with her, and now to benefit from his death in a way and be with her is very provocative and complicated and challenging. And at the same time, there's a mysterious sort of event in the conflicts that we're covering, and it seems that we're being used as a pawn, possibly, by one side or another, and as a spy and a combatant, and that's the last thing I want to do. We're trying to stay scrupulously neutral about things and not cheerlead for one side or another in order to really get the facts, and of course to keep all journalists as a group safe, because if they're seen as combatants, just like in the real world, it's even more dangerous. And as we know, they sacrifice their lives sometimes.
This is not just what you see on TV a reporter going through. This is what a reporter goes through in life and the feelings that everyone else in the world experience, in addition to having to do their job, which is a very risky job at that.
So risky. And they're an amazing group of people. You know, there's no big money in it. There's no big glory. And they live as gypsies. They don't have a regular at-home American lifestyle, but they're noble, special types who are really doing something. At least my character and the many who I talked to, because I immersed myself in the research for months before. Yeah, you know, they feel they're doing something important, it is important. You know.
You know, I've been in the broadcasting business, Jeff, starting very, very, very young. But
really?
Early on, I thought I wanted to be a newsman. I was a disc jockey and all these other things. I thought, boy, it would be kind of cool to be a newsman. And I was covering a story with Vice President Humphrey,
yeah.
And I was standing next to Robert Pierpoint, who at the time was a network announcer. And I asked him, I said, and I was young, I was probably in my late teens, I said, how do you get to be like an anchorman? You know, how do you get to be like what you're doing? And he turned to me and he says, you cover wars first. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, yeah, there goes my news desire, because I wasn't about to do that. But his whole tact was, you got to go out and you got to feel what it's like to cover a war before you can sit behind that desk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the big story, of course. And for many of them, you know, they're very intelligent and driven. They've worked very hard, the special group that rises to the top and gets to even do that. And they risk their lives. It's amazing. And who knows if any of us could really do that. And, you know, they run into places where the bullets are flying, where everybody else is running away. Every instinct in your body probably tells you, I don't want to be involved in this.
You know what I relate it to? Your business. Here you are, a star of the big screen and the small screen, but you really cut your teeth acting on live stage. You would go back to that. Money isn't a factor anymore. You would go back to that because that's where you cut your teeth. When you see all of these anchormen, when they get an opportunity to go back into the trenches, they leave that desk anchor job and go do it because that's what they love.
Yeah, they're doing it for the love of it. And you're right. Acting in that way is the same. It's like sort of a passion project for me, but in no way I think is acting like facing the real life and death of bullets. I don't know if I could do that.
The bullets of a studio executive are probably just as powerful sometimes as the enemy.
Well, I don't know.
Go in that corner.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I admire about what you do, and I'm not saying that because you're on the show today. I would say this, in fact, I was telling someone earlier today when I knew you were going to be on the program. You are convincing, no matter what you do. If it is something that has some levity to it, you're convincing. If it's a drama, you're convincing. You just take on the error of convincing someone of your part so intently that it's amazing to watch.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm a humble student of it. I'm always trying to get better.
If you did something else, if you weren't in this business, what would you have done?
Well, I love to teach, in fact. I teach at a place called Playhouse West in North Hollywood for the last 10 or 15 years. Yeah, whenever I'm not working. I love to do that. I've always loved the classroom. And I play piano, too, well, once a week in a jazz band whenever I'm not working. So I can imagine being a musician.
That's pretty cool. Now, you were born and raised near where I was raised.
Where?
You were in Pittsburgh, of course, and I was just a few miles north in Erie.
Oh, no kidding.
Did you ever go up to Erie?
Yes, yes, I did.
You're just saying that now. Just
no, wait. Is Erie, is it near Lake Erie?
It's right on Lake Erie.
Oh, sure.
With the peninsula there, the Presque Isle?
Oh, I went there. I had a very memorable trip. We had friends who had a boat right there on Lake Erie, and I remember taking a trip on it. Yeah, I was there.
It's funny because I had a boat on Lake Erie also on the Presque Isle. You know, Jeff, it is a great town in the summer.
The winter's a little dicey. I hope all my friends in my hometown won't be upset with that, but there's a lot of snow there. You get used to it after a while, but I never did.
But I tell you what I love about Pittsburgh is coming through that tunnel and just seeing that skyline all of a sudden appear.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is.
I know.
Do you ever get back there?
Yeah, sometimes. I'm a big Steelers fan.
Oh, well, that's a great town for that.
I know.
Now, you got this show coming up this Wednesday, War Stories, and you have an upcoming Showtime feature, too, don't you?
Yes, I do, called Spinning Boris.
Wow.
I know.
When's that going to start now?
I'm not sure. So I'm thinking of spring sometime.
Do you ever get tired of talking about Jurassic Park? I mean, here's something that still has a huge presence at Universal Studios, and I was talking to an attorney this morning. He said, well, you know, I loved Jeff and the Fly and the Big Chill, so, you know, there are so many things that you are related to. Do you ever get tired of talking about the past work?
No. I love that people liked some things. And, you know, working with Spielberg on the Jurassic Park movies was a great thing for me. I loved them.
If you walked away from the story that you're going to be doing with one lesson about correspondence, what would it be?
Well, there, besides being, you know, fiercely competitive, because now with the internet and cell phones, they have to be the first with the story. They're terrifically noble, idealistic, brave people. And they have my undying respect.
Yeah. Jeff, it is always a delight talking with you.
My pleasure entirely. Thanks so much.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you back down here so I can get that picture again now.
We'll take that picture.
Sounds like a winner, Jeff.
Thanks.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, my friend.
Jeff Goldblum has been our very special guest.
And I'll be right back with more.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more. Has anyone ever given you $15,000 in free silver? Well, then listen up. First of all, the smartest minds in the financial world are buying precious metals with both fists. Central bankers invest and manage hundreds of billions of dollars for the treasuries of countries. And central bankers just added gold to their holdings for the fifth month in a row. So far this year, central banks have added over 300 tons of gold to their holdings. So what are you waiting for? Follow the smart money. You can buy physical gold and silver with your IRA, SEP IRA, or 401k retirement account. Goldgate Capital sells physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA. 100% insured. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. If you're among the first 100 callers today and tell them Wainwright sent you, they will give you up to $15,000 in free silver on your first order. Call now. 855-770-GOLD. 855-770-GOLD. That's 855-770-GOLD. Or go to goldgatecapital.com.
That wraps up hour number one of Ron Segi Today. We have another hour to go, but I want to thank my guest for joining me. One crazy guy, but a nice man. Terry Bradshaw, superstar from the country's arena. Tim McGraw, comedian Tom Dreesen, and actor Jeff Goldblum. Next hour, Rita Coolidge will be joining us on the show from America's Got Talent, Howie Mandel. And Nick Friedman, who's one of the stars and the executive producer of a new movie that's out called Bezo, The Beginning, about Jeff Bezos' start of Amazon. And in our lifestyle segment, we'll have Bonnie Taub Dix. And that's all coming up next hour, live nationwide and around the world with Ron Segi Today.